Hello everyone and greetings. Welcome or welcome back to Thy Kingdom Come podcast. I trust and I hope that you guys are doing well and I hope you're having a great day or evening or night, whatever time it is where you are. Before I begin, please do make sure you go and check out my latest episode, which is called Judgment and Correction. I really do believe it's going to bless you and it's going to shift the way we think about judgment and correction, and yeah. Give it a listen if you haven't already. Also, if you're not, please do follow the podcast on social media, on TikTok and Instagram at TKC_podcast. All right then, let's begin. My anchor scripture for this episode is Matthew 24:24. And Jesus says, "False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." The NLT version says, "God's chosen ones." I think it's really important to have these conversations because it's something that is happening currently as I speak. I made a video and I was sharing how I've seen pastors of mega churches, leave their sheep to serve another God or to just not believe or have any faith. People that have been Christians for longer than I've been alive, more than 30 years, just leave Christ just like that. I've had people around me that because of hardship, because of trials and tribulations, they just don't understand, so they give up their faith. Everyone has their reasons, but personally, from my point of view, I've kind of narrowed it down to one of two. The first one being not really knowing the character of God, not really knowing how he operates. And the second being deception. For many, it's due to personal reasons, and I won't talk about this now, but we'll go into it in depth later. This almost happened to me, and if you're going through it currently, if you've been through it, please understand that you're not alone. A lot of us Christians are struggling with this. When those why questions or those when questions start to fill your mind, why can't you heal my family member? Why am I always in and out of hospital? Are you not a God of love? When will you do this for me? When will you come through for me? When would life start looking better for me? I have to hold my tongue a little bit because I have an agenda, but we will definitely talk about this later. It's something that needs to be tackled, but again, you are not alone. You're not alone. And no, you're not weird. And don't be ashamed. For me, I was ashamed to tell someone else that I was struggling with my whole religion. I was just doubting everything. I was doubting God because I've been a Christian for so many years. But you know what? How many years you've been a Christian doesn't matter. It actually doesn't matter. I think what the issue is, because you've been a Christian for so long, you might be afraid of how people might perceive you. Like, it's been 30 years, surely your foundation in Christ is strong. Like, how can you doubt your faith? But listen, you're not weird, you're not alone. Many of us are going through this. The enemy is always trying to get us to doubt, but yeah, let's actually start this thing now. I don't know how I got here, but listen, we are here. Let's talk about how to not be deceived in these last days. Yes, how to not be deceived. I've seen many people who have said, "It can never be me. I can never doubt God. I know God is real. I'll die believing God. I'll die on this hill. Da 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 da." Lo and behold, those same people, a few years later, will write a post about how they've been reading the Quran, they've been going to temple, they don't believe in anything anymore, here's why God is not real, here's why I'm an atheist now. Yeah, you get it. Ultimately, they walk away from the faith, they walk away from Christianity, they leave Christ. This is why we must be careful when we say things like, "It can never be me, it can never be me." We say it out of faith, that's perfect, that's great, absolutely. But if our foundation isn't strong, if our faith is not strong, then we open the door to allow it to be us, if that makes sense. Saying things like "it can never be me" is faith and it's passion, which is great, but we need more than that. Prayer is amazing, but we need more than prayer. In the kingdom of God, prayer and no action doesn't produce anything. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So where are the works? What can we do to not be deceived? What can we do to stand strong in these end times? So yeah, let's talk about it. Number one, true relationship over works. It is possible to think that your relationship with God is going well because your ministry is going well, but it might not always be the case. Don't ever be too busy doing the work of God that you actually forget to have a relationship with God, that you forget to sit down and talk to God every day, that you forget to communicate with God. Every Christian must make up their mind and come to a conclusion that having a genuine and authentic relationship with God is a non-negotiable. And this is really important because for many people, their relationship with God is in fact negotiable. Show some people 1 million. Who's God? I've never worshipped God. I've never even prayed. Listen, show me the money. Show me the money. Scarily enough, even those who lead churches, give them money, give them fame. In a second, they may even deny their faith. Whether you have a ministry or not, whether you're a pastor, an apostle, whether you're a devout Christian, it doesn't matter. Is your relationship with God negotiable? This is a personal thing. I, for myself, have to come to a conclusion that my relationship with God is the most precious thing to me. Therefore, my relationship with God, I can't trade it in for nothing else. You also have to come to that conclusion, but it takes revelation of the God that we serve. Do you really know God or do you just know about him? Here is something for us to try. During a time of thanksgiving or prayer, after you've thanked God for all he's done for you, now thank him for who he is. Just to see how much you know God outside of what he's done for you and outside of your blessings. We thank God for everything, but this is just a small exercise because before God healed you, he was still God. Do you know that before God gave you that baby that you've been praying for, he was still God? Even if God hasn't given you what you've prayed for yet, he is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the Lion of Judah. He is still the Alpha and Omega. He is still the beginning and the end. Unfortunately, you had a miscarriage and it's very painful, but it doesn't change that God is a righteous judge and he's our lawgiver. You may be in a tough season in your life and you don't really understand and it feels like God is not fair, but it doesn't change the fact that he's still the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He's the God that delivered Israel. He's the God that shut the mouths of the lions and saved Daniel. Negative situations do not define God. It doesn't change the personality, the character of God. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh is the same God in 2025. And of course we are human. Sometimes our faith wavers. Sometimes our faith can be up, but the next day it's down. But my point is this. Don't base your relationship with God on what you see. The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. We are going to drive ourselves into a state of sadness and even depression if we continue to look at the things we don't have in this life. Our relationship with God should not be based on whether our life is going great or whether our prayers are being answered. But because this is relationship, it's based on trust and love, faithfulness, honesty, and obedience. In order to know God, we have to make sure we're constantly reading his word. Let it get to a point that God is your best friend, because that's what he wants to be. He wants to be your best friend, a brother, a sister, the first person you run to when you need help. And as this is happening, we see that the way that our faith was wavering before, up today, down tomorrow, up the next day, we will see that that begins to stop. It begins to slow down because we know our God, because we are sure that if he said he will, then he will. Be a sheep. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I was watching a video, it was very interesting, but I guess this little boy was at the farm and he was trying to call the sheep to him, but the sheep would not listen. But as soon as the shepherd would call them, the sheep were running towards the shepherd because that's the voice they knew, that's what they're used to. So we have to make sure we listen to God and we are obedient to his word. Don't get it twisted though, there are other voices. Like I said, the boy was trying to call the sheep. He did it like 3 or 4 times and they wouldn't even turn their faces to look at him. There are indeed other voices. Omo, you've been praying for this thing 5-6 years now, it's not gonna happen. Your friends, they're getting married, they're buying cars, they're buying houses, look at you. What have you done? You're saying you're blessed. Blessed where? Every day, praying for your marriage. Listen, divorce the guy. This is as good as it's gonna get. No matter how much you pray and fast, you will never be healed. This year in school, you're going to fail. You might as well drop out. These are just a few examples of the other voices. The voices are getting louder, but we must keep our eyes on Jesus, the true shepherd. Imagine that amongst so many children, your baby was crying. You would know it was your baby. Why? Because you know their cry. Sometimes these strange voices that are not of the shepherd may sound similar, but we have to make that distinction. We have to know that we know our shepherd. by having a true and authentic relationship with him. As I round up this point, please don't get me wrong, ministry is important. Every single child of God, every Christian has a ministry, and your ministry is how God will have you reach people with the gospel. Whether that's through expressive arts, whether that's through a podcast, through writing books. It could be through serving in your church, teaching children the gospel. It could be through missionary work, through evangelism, through having a voice in parliament, in government. Everyone has something to do for God, because God has blessed us with gifts, and God wants us to use those gifts to reach other people, to teach people about the gospel. But in order to not be deceived, we must remember who we are doing it for. We must keep God at the center always, because when your focus shifts and then it becomes about how many members you have, it becomes about money and followers. When it becomes about social media and who you know and being able to fly out, it opens the door for deception. It opens the door for the enemy. No amount of money can purchase a relationship with God. It's the most precious thing in the world, outside of the world, above the world, under the world. It's the most, you can't buy it. No amount of money will buy it. But God in his mercy, because this has happened to me, when you do ministry without God, he will make sure you get tired. And the way that you get tired is like, it's as if you can't function anymore. That in itself is God's mercy. That is his call to come back to him. It's like electricity. You have to stay connected. You have to stay plugged in order to receive power from the source. Recently, we lost a general in the kingdom of God, Reverend Dr. Umar Ukpai in Nigeria. I hope I'm saying his name right, but he passed away. He dedicated more than 60 years, six decades of his life to evangelism and to ministry. And I think of great men like him. I think of men like Bishop Oyedepo. I would love to have asked them, how have you been doing this for so long? Have you never been tired? What is your secret? Literally staying connected to God, staying connected to the source of their power. Everyone gets tired. Sometimes we even want to give up. I was talking to my spiritual parents quite recently, actually, and I was just sharing with them how sometimes I feel tired. I just feel a bit tired. I felt so much better when they told me that it's inevitable. You're bound to feel tired. You're human. And this is why I always tell people that they're not alone, because I felt alone. I thought nobody looks tired. Everybody's just getting on with it so well. And I feel like I'm the only one struggling. You're never the only one going through something. I felt so much better when they told me that. And I was encouraged to just stand. I was encouraged to go back to the source, to speak to God about it. In the secret place is where you allow God to pour back into you. As you've been pouring out into others, you also need to be filled. And that takes place in the secret place. So if you neglect it, then you risk being tired and giving up. Being tired is inevitable. It's going to happen, especially in ministry. You might even doubt yourself. These things are normal. We are human. They will happen. Even if it's not tiredness, you may have stumbled. You may have fallen into sin. Don't stay down. Get up and keep going. There are certain people that can only be touched, that can only be reached through your ministry, through what God will do in you and through you. Ultimately, ministry is soul winning. And when you have a relationship with God, his will begin to align with your will. And soul winning will become something that is so important to you, because it's on the heart of the Father. So now it's on yours. How to not be deceived in these end times. Number two, guard your gates. Your gates are basically entrances to your soul. So your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and even your hands, what you touch. When we are careless about our gates and we allow anything and everything to enter our soul, we watch everything we see on TV, we allow ourselves to be in the midst of gossip and we listen to careless things, we speak rubbish, we go to every party, we touch anything, we touch anybody. When we are careless like that, we open the door for deception. We are basically begging to be deceived at that point. Deception has friends, okay? Along with deception comes temptation, a hardened heart, and even sin nature. There's a difference between falling short, like you sin, you fall into sin, but actually having sin nature. It's kind of like a process. So it might have started with giving in to temptation, then deception comes in, then your heart begins to harden, then before you know it, you have a sin nature. But let's go through these gates one by one. Let's start with the eyes. Matthew chapter 6 verses 22 to 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, spiritually perspective, your whole body will be full of light, benefiting from God's perspective. But if your eye is bad, spiritually blind, your whole body will be full of darkness, devoid of God's precepts. So if the very light inside of you, your inner self, your heart, your conscience, is darkness, how great and terrible is that darkness?" That's the Amplified version. Verse 23 says, "But if your eye is bad, then it adds spiritually blind." Spiritual blindness happens when we are living in sin. If our whole body is dark, the mind will then follow. And the mind is the control center for the whole body. So as darkness would cloud our minds, it will begin to lead to many mental health issues, in fact. Instead of having wisdom, maybe you're making silly decisions or silly choices. It all links. So just to encourage all of us, just be careful. You do not need to watch every movie. Movies are spiritual as well. You don't have to go to every concert just because you have a ticket. Some concerts are full on rituals. For people that go to concerts, they'll tell you they start feeling uncomfortable or they saw something that makes them uncomfortable. This looks demonic. What exactly were you expecting? Do not become a victim. Once you feel uncomfortable, leave. Up and leave. I don't care if you spent $1 million on a ticket. Leave for the sake of your life, for the sake of your spirit, for the sake of your soul. But before that, to save you all that trouble, just stop going to certain artists' concerts. Just don't go. I don't care about the hype. I don't care who's going. From the time that we see the flyer on the internet or on Instagram and we desire to go, I'm off that day, you know, I can go see him. He's one of my favorite artists, so why not? From that moment, God will begin to convict some of us, but some of us just, you know, we won't listen. But be vigilant. Don't open up your soul to everything and anything. I know about the algorithm. If you're on social media, follow people that are doing good things, people that are doing and living for God. Start watching preachings and teachings or testimonies on YouTube, because the things we allow ourselves to see are so important. Now let's talk about our ears. Romans 10 verses 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is why going to church is important. This is why regular Bible study and even listening to sermons is important, because faith comes by hearing. If you find yourself lacking faith, increase your word intake. But I want to talk about music. We must be careful about the type of music we listen to and not just focus on the beat, but focus on what the artist is saying. Because remember, your ears are a gate, so whatever they're saying is coming into you. Music is incredibly influential, whether that's worship music, punk rock, R&B, hip hop, whatever genre it is influential. Let's use worship as an example. I know this is how it is for some of you as well, but when I listen to worship, it encourages me to pray. It shifts the atmosphere, ushers a certain atmosphere. It takes us deeper. It brings forth reflection and just adoration. So wouldn't it be the same for worldly music? Music is so significant that it can bring you to do things that are possibly outside your character. This was years ago, but someone was giving a testimony about how he used to be a road man and he was on road doing whatever. And he said before he would attack someone, attack his ops or whatever they call it, he would listen to certain music. I think it's drill or grime, one of them. Songs that encourage murder, that encourage knife crime. Satan was in charge of music in heaven. And when he got casted out, this did not change. He is still very much in charge of that area. In 2021, I was very depressed and very suicidal. There were particular songs that I would listen to that would drive me further into depression and just into sadness. Two of them I remember very well. One of them is If I Die Young, and another one is Trainwreck by Sam Smith. I have been suicidal before, but I've never felt more ready than that moment, because the music just made me feel like, yeah, I feel like it's time. But God in His mercy helped me and delivered me at that time. But yeah, guys, music. I know that many people haven't been convicted yet, but then there's a lot of us that have been convicted to not listen to worldly music anymore. That's why you see people deleting their playlists and their old songs that they used to listen to and replacing them with gospel. And other Christians don't understand. In fact, they take it as an attack. Well, I'm a Christian and I still listen to her. I still listen to him. I still listen to rock. I still listen to R&B. But personal conviction is real, guys. Just because God hasn't convicted you yet doesn't mean that what the other person is doing is wrong or that you should condemn it or they think that they're better than you. That's not the case. Because of the whole concept of free will, because God has given us free will, we have to make choices. You don't have to be in places and endure listening to music that encourages sex and murder and lust. Music that encourages people to cheat on their husbands or cheat on their wives or have polygamous relationships or, yeah, you don't have to. Music that blasphemes the name of God. There was an artist who spoke about how every time he goes to the studio beforehand, he will get drunk or he would get high. Some artists even pray to Satan before they begin to record. So imagine they're transferring all of that into your ears, into your ear gates. So let us be careful about the types of music that we listen to. So yes, faith comes by hearing, but what are you hearing? Because if you hear something repeatedly over time, you begin to believe it. That's what happened to me. When I was younger, I was called all manner of names, ugly being one of them. I heard it so much, so often, that I began to believe it, and I would repeat it to myself when I looked in the mirror, when I was walking. They called me useless. I began to believe that too, and I carried it and I ran with it. I didn't know anything about identity in Christ, because faith comes by hearing, and what I was hearing is what people were calling me, were saying about me. That's what happens when you are young and naive. But if you haven't already, please learn to rebuke certain things that people speak over you. To make it worse, they even add LOL, just kidding. No, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. What do you mean? If you don't allow the Lord to tell you who he has created you to be, your identity will come from people in the world, people who don't know God, even agents of the devil himself. That's why we must be in the Word. The Word of God is a mirror. The Bible says before God formed you in the womb, he knew you. The Bible says God has plans to prosper you and give you a future, not to harm you. The Bible says you were made in his image. So discover who you are by reading and studying the Bible. Also, if you have children, please begin to teach them about their identity in Christ. Christian education is so important for children. When your foundation is strong, when you know your God and you know who you are in Christ, you become unstoppable, unmovable. Still on the topic of our ear gates, as we are in the end times, please just prepare yourselves to hear all manner of doctrines. I forgot what day it was, but it was quite recent. They said that Jesus is coming back, and there were videos of people selling their cars and even quitting their jobs. But Jesus warns us about things like this in Matthew 24 verses 23. He says, "Then if anyone tells you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' don't believe it." And it's something I don't quite understand, because every single time someone gives us a day, a random day, this is the day Jesus is coming back, there's always thousands of people that will believe it. I mean, the last six predictions were not enough for you. You have to now move on to 7th and the 8th and the 9th. There's always going to be someone that swears they know. But yeah, we will hear all manner of doctrines, but we have to be sure and we have to trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the true gospel. That is the only gospel that can save us. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 verses 12, the Amplified Version, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among people by which we must be saved. For God has provided the world no alternative for salvation." Again, this is why it's important to study the Word, because when you hear things like "there are many ways to God," this scripture will come to your mind. But the Bible says there's no alternative in which people must be saved. There's no other name under heaven that men can be saved, except for Jesus Christ. When I speak of a strong foundation, I'm talking about relationship and also knowledge of his Word as well. You need something to stand on so that when the waves begin to crash on you, you will not be moved, you will not be easily swayed, so that you don't go with the wind. As Christians, we don't go with the wind. Wherever everybody is saying, "Okay, we go that way. Someone is saying this. Okay, let me go that way." No, we stand firm on what we know. We stand firm on the Word of God because we know it's true. So make sure you guard your ear gates. Receive what is true, receive what is good. But anything that is contrary to the word of God, anything that blasphemes his name, strange doctrines and strange philosophies, do your best to avoid them. Even if something is viral, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's correct. Cross-reference everything that you hear with the word of God. Whether it is your pastor, your friend, your church friend, your mother, your father, whoever is giving you advice, cross-check it with the Bible every single time. I'm paraphrasing, but one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Acts chapter 17 verses 11. The scripture talks about how they listened to Paul eagerly, receiving the message, and every day and night they went back to the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching was actually true. They went back and searched the scriptures for themselves. Unfortunately, the church as a whole lack this very thing, and we need to bring it back desperately. Don't just run with something because pastor said, because this kind of thing causes many people to become ignorant. There's a video from years ago where a pastor told his members to go outside and eat grass, and without even thinking about it, they went outside and they were just chewing grass like cows. I couldn't believe it. We need to start asking ourselves again, is this biblical? How can this benefit my life? On what basis are you asking me to do this? Your pastors are there to answer any questions you may have. So for example, Sunday's message, you didn't quite understand it, you didn't quite get it. I don't find any problem in approaching your pastor, depending on how approachable your pastor is, and asking if there's any more reading that you could do, any more scriptures that your pastor can provide so that you can understand it a bit better. It doesn't even have to be a pastor, but asking a fellow church friend, I didn't quite understand this part. What do you understand from it? What did you get from it? Asking questions allows us to grow. It deepens understanding and wisdom. So let's be like the people in Acts 17:11. Don't just believe everything that you hear, but go back to the word every single time. Go back to God in prayer every single time. And when we do this, we are less likely to be deceived in these end times. Clearly, there's a lot to say when it comes to our ear gates, but let's talk about touch. The laying on of hands is biblical. The Bible says in Acts 19 verses 6, then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. Jesus also laid hands on people and they were healed. It's kind of a form of impartation or deliverance or healing or even a blessing. Just wanted to make that clear, but I say that to say this. Guys, in 2025, it's almost 2026, stop allowing everyone to put their hands on your head. Stop allowing everyone to touch you. To my fellow sisters, our hair is our glory. Not every hairdresser should have access to our hair. It's not every Peckham auntie that can do your hair. If you're from South London, then you understand what I'm talking about. I remember going to get my hair done from not my usual hairdresser, and she shared with me that the hairdressers that she worked with practiced witchcraft. But the reason she told me that was because she recently moved into that shop, but she wasn't comfortable and she didn't like it, and this is why. So don't tell me it's not that deep. It is that deep. Stop allowing everyone to touch you. You don't know what they're taking from you. You don't know what their intentions are. As I said, it is biblical and it's of God. But as we know, the enemy can't create anything. So he takes what belongs to God and he twists it. And because the anchor scripture, Matthew 24:24, Jesus says false prophets have now gone out. So the false prophets are now also going to use the laying on of hands. But in this case, it's wicked, it's manipulative, it's evil. You know, there are some evil pastors, quote unquote pastors, that will tell their female members that in order to break through, in order to receive their miracle, they must sleep with that pastor. This is manipulation and it's not of God. We must be careful because direct contact can mean transfer. It can mean access. That's why psychics and people who do readings and stuff like that, they need to touch you. You need to give them your palm because that is access. It's also a form of permission as well, because you're giving them permission to access your past and whatever they want to see about you. So let us stay away from these things. We can't indulge in and partake in things that God said is a sin, things that God said he doesn't like. Leviticus 19 verses 31, Do not defile yourselves by turning to mediums or those who consult the spirits of the dead. I am the Lord your God. Now this brings me to my next point. Just because someone is in the church and just because they can tell you your name, your address, what you ate yesterday, they can prophesy into your life, it doesn't mean that they are from God. 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." Some people are operating under strange, very strange spirits. But ultimately, we must understand that just because they said, "God told me to tell you," doesn't mean God said anything to them. It could be a familiar spirit. Even if it's not a strange or familiar spirit, sometimes people speak from their feelings. I don't know if you've ever had someone tell you that, "Oh, God told me you're my wife," or "God told me you're my husband." It could just be that they're lonely, they've been single for 5 years, all the friends around them are engaged, they don't know what's going on with their life, and they look at your picture. "Yeah, this one is a potential. They're pretty, they're cute. I see myself marrying this one." And then they want to say, "The Lord told me to tell you, you're my wife, you're my husband, or I had a dream that we were together and we were getting married." Fire! Fire! Forget that dream, my friend. Sometimes it's just feelings. That's why we can't be led by our feelings. We cannot allow loneliness to do these things to us. We cannot allow desperation to put us in these situations. However, if that kind of situation is genuine and they genuinely think that, "Yeah, you're my husband, you're my wife," you have to pray to God, because why has he revealed it to you and he hasn't revealed anything to me? Where are you getting these dreams from? Me, I haven't had a single dream. So are you sure? So yes, this is how we protect ourselves. This is how we protect ourselves from becoming deceived in these end times. I want to share something that happened to me. I think I was about 15 or 16, around that age. I had a friend at the time on Facebook, and like he would just check up on me and stuff like that, and he was a pastor. One day he told me to do something I thought was very weird, and just out of being young, not reading the Bible enough, not knowing God enough, I just ended up doing it. His instructions were this: strip naked, put your Bible on the floor, lay your hands on your Bible, and then he went on to say, "I will be with you in spirit." It was definitely weird, but I did it anyway. Obviously, now that I'm older, I 100% doubt that the Lord told him to tell me to do that. This is why it's important to have discernment. This is why it's important to always go to God. "God, is this you? Did you actually say this?" And discernment will tell you that. Now, this same pastor, we had a disagreement. I don't know what it was about. But then after that, he got really angry and cursed me. And he said, "I will not live past the age of 18. And I remember being so scared and fearful. It was days before I turned 18. I messaged one of my friends and I told her what had happened, and she just prayed over me. I felt so scared, I was shaking. But there was no reason for me to be scared, because it was not of God. He was literally just a weirdo, and that's all it was. So stay vigilant, stay prayed up, and pray for the spirit of discernment. My final point, which I believe I touched on already, but how to not be deceived in these end times. Point number 3, stay away from strange doctrines. Jeremiah chapter 14 verses 14 says, "Then the Lord said, 'These prophets are telling lies in my name. I did not send them or tell them to speak. I did not give them any messages. They prophesy of visions and revelations they have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts.'" Does that even need any explanation? I don't think it does. It's plain and simple. This is scary, because the next verse goes on to say how God will punish lying prophets. And I want to talk about TikTok. TikTok prophets and prophetesses and pastors. Every day there are like 500 new ones. It's so easy to create a TikTok or social media profile and then go live with a caption saying, "Write your name and I'll tell you what I see." And then they begin prophesying to people, saying things God hasn't said. Although they are to blame, I also blame their audience, because many people are so desperate for a prophetic word. They are so desperate for a word from God that they would pay money just to be lied to. It's even how they scam people. I'm going to open my TikTok messages right now and read to you a message that I get all the time. Thanks for your love and support. Please kindly message me privately with your WhatsApp number. I have a prophetic message for you from the Lord. This is from a fake page, by the way. And I've received some messages telling me to pay to receive the full message. These people. How can you not fear God? Like, and I'm just saying that to say, be careful. Not everyone has a prophetic word for you. Some people just want access to you. Some people just want to manipulate you. Many of these people are not ordained. And I say that to say this, just because you call yourself a prophet doesn't mean you are one. Just because you call yourself an apostle doesn't mean you automatically become an apostle. Even if you know that God has called you to be a prophet, he's called you to be an apostle or a prophetess, you have to actually be ordained. You have to go through mentorship and training. Normalize asking people, who ordained you? Let me see your track record. When was the date of your ordination? Normalize checking people's track record, because the way people are calling themselves prophets and apostles on TikTok, I'm not with it. Beware of false prophets. How do you know a prophet is false? If what they've said to you did not come to pass, if the messages they preach are not in line with the word of God, they are a false prophet. I actually don't know why I keep saying prophets and pastors. They do not have to be ordained. They don't have to have a title, because this is about everybody, not just those who have a title. The Bible also says that you shall know them by their fruits. So the character of some of these pastors and even devout Christians and teachers and people in the church is a big giveaway. 1 John chapter 4 verses 33 says, but if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is indeed already here. So there you have it. I mean, if you were to ask them a question, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus actually existed? And they go on to say, well, you know, the thing is, the Bible, you know, in the early church, the disciples, yeah, I'm not doing this. I'm out of here. Bye. Good night. Because what do you mean? Your answer should be, yes, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. It's definitely getting real, and the enemy is working overtime to deceive many people, not just unbelievers, but believers as well. He is doing that by raising false prophets and false leaders. But one of the most important things that we must do for ourselves is make sure that we know the word of God. Know it like we know the back of our hands, like we know our name. Because if we don't know the word for ourselves, we make ourselves open for deception or for leaving the faith. Do what you have to do to guard your soul and to make sure you are far away from being deceived. Do you know what else we need to normalize? Normalize walking out of a church if the doctrine is not correct and if it's not biblical. There, I said it. You haven't woken up early Sunday morning to go to church and be lied to and be told something that is not in your Bible. Absolutely not. If it's a thing where every single week, week in, week out, the doctrine is not correct, it sounds weird, it's not biblical, then yeah, I'm out of here. Especially if the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you isn't agreeing, isn't connecting to it, then yeah, you already know what it is. This is one of the reasons why I left a church that I was in for, I think, 3 years. The pastor was, like, the way he was speaking, so eloquent, very good English, and what he was saying was making sense, but I don't know how to explain it, but he was very, very well spoken. So because of how well spoken he was and how he would use words and, you know, just the way that he was speaking, it seemed like, yeah, what he was saying is biblical. But I actually remember sitting down and just thinking about it and deeping, not just what he was saying, but how he was saying it and his intentions for saying certain things. So let us be careful. We have to be careful. Before I end this episode, I wanted to speak about how for many people, it's not because of deception that they leave the church or they leave Christ, or it's not because of bad pastors or bad mentorship. For many people, it's because of what's going on in their personal lives. And I mentioned having those questions, those why questions, those when questions. When are you going to come through for me? I'm tired. Why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? I've had a few people explain that because of what they're going through and how long they've been going through it, they just don't believe that God is for them or they don't believe God wants to bless them. So it's not that they stop believing he's real. They know he's real, but maybe they believe that he's not for them. He doesn't want to bless them, or he hates them, something along those lines. But even this, in a way, is a deception. And it's not that someone else deceived you, but you believe God to be what he's not. And that is based on your circumstances and what you're going through. You know, it's those long-standing issues, those things you have been praying for, the people you've been praying for years, and it seems like nothing is happening. It seems like things are getting worse. And because we don't see what we want to see, our faith is attacked. It's important to understand that you're not alone. I've been through this so many times myself. I cannot tell you why what you're praying for, what you've been praying for, is not happening. That is something only God knows. But personally for me, it all comes down to knowing God, having a personal relationship with God, and seeking him with your whole heart. Because many people are only seeking God for what they can get from him. Many people are seeking his hand and not his face. God, what can you give me? God, I'm struggling. Give me this. God, give me this to get me out of this situation. This is just an example. It's not to say that everybody that is asking God questions and doubting their faith is going through this. No, it was just an example. I know you've heard this before, and I know it might even be annoying, but just keep praying. There is a fruit of the Spirit called long-suffering, and I think the easiest way to understand this fruit is associating it with patience. It's like patience. But what this fruit enables us to do is that, yes, we have to be patient with people, we have to suffer long when it comes to relationships, but also in our walk with God. So even though I'm having a difficult time right now, even though my faith is being tested, I'm still going to pray. I'm not going to allow it to affect my prayer life. I'm not going to allow it to draw me out of the presence of God, out of my secret place. It's difficult, but I'm still going to volunteer. I'm still going to evangelize. I'm still going to volunteer with children. I'm still going to go to church. I'm going to serve in church. I'm not going to let it stop what I'm doing for God. I feel like this is a fruit that we all need. Especially for me, this is why I say you're not alone. If I feel like I'm praying and my prayers are not being answered, I feel like God is not listening, I want to throw pity parties, I want to stay in bed all day, I want to cry, I want to complain. And there are many times where I have gone ahead and done those things, but it has never worked for me. What did work for me though was his word and knowing God to be faithful, yes, through his word, but also through past experiences. God is faithful. You might be praying for God to heal someone in your family. If he's done it before, he can do it again. Keep praying. So I urge all of us not to be so quick to throw our faith away, but to trust in God, because he is faithful and he can. For many of us, we think our problems are way too big for God. Because, for example, you've had a diagnosis for 20 years now. It's been too long. God can't deal with this one. This one is different. My case is different. There is nothing above God. God is able. He's more than able. So yeah, that was just an encouragement to have faith. Don't give up. Keep pushing and keep praying. Maybe it's been years and you've been praying for financial blessings. You've been praying for a job, but now you're still in between jobs. You're still getting paid minimum wage. Things are still difficult for you. But the Bible scripture that comes to mind is, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. I know we want it to happen right now, but it's not in our time, it's in God's time. And his time is always the best, his time is always right. I hope I've encouraged somebody. But yeah, let's quickly recap. So in this episode, we've been talking about how to not become deceived in these end times. A true relationship with God overworks. Ministry is important and it's very needed. But don't ever be in a position where you are doing ministry without God, because he alone is the source of your strength. He is the source of your ministry. And if you are ignorant and you don't want to have a relationship with God, but you want to continue to still doing ministry, listen, God is the boss that will fire you and allow you to keep working. That's why Jesus says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not cast out demons? They were doing the works of the Lord, but we see at the end, they didn't make it in. If this was to ever happen to you, now or in the future, remember my words, or drop everything and go back to the secret place. Reconnect with God again. Even if you have many followers, wow. The followers are sweet. They're sending me money. They're sending me gifts. Wow, this is lovely. Your relationship and your faith with God is priceless. It cannot be bought. Number two, guard your gates. Be careful of the things that you allow yourself to see. Be careful of the things you allow yourself to hear. And be careful of who touches you, who lays hands on you, and who you touch as well. This includes things like sexual relations as well. Because that in itself is another gate. We hear of things like soul ties. So we really need to be careful. And please, just because something is popular doesn't mean it's right. Do the right thing. Do the biblical thing. Do things God's way always. And lastly, make sure you know the Bible like you know your name. That way you'll know that if something is not from the Bible, if you hear a weird or strange doctrine, you know that you need to stay clear of it. Because it's not biblical. Remember that there are many voices, but we only respond to our shepherd, the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. The voices may sound like him, but because we know him, because we have a relationship with him, because we talk to him every day, we can tell the difference between these strange voices and the actual true shepherd. God bless you all, and thank you for listening to this episode. I really pray that it blessed you. I pray that you got something from it. My prayer is that none of us will be deceived, even as weird doctrines are coming out and false prophets are on the rise and the Antichrist is on the rise. But still, we'll stand firm in the word of God, we'll know our God, and we'll have a relationship with him. Don't forget to follow the social media pages, Instagram and TikTok at TKC_podcast. Let me know what you think. I'd appreciate any feedback or any comments. But I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye and take care.